Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, warning against stunted spiritual growth. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid men's discouraging spiritual failure, so a word from God on the infinite supremacy and sufficiency of his Son, Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The epistle to the Hebrews offers it in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, that is part of the parenthetical warning against turning from Christ, warns against stunted spiritual growth in Christ. We view this passage for our insight. What I'd like to do is to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll read the passage and then get into it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to gather here tonight. We thank you for your word, for the Holy Spirit who communicates to us through the word of God and who takes that word and applies it to our hearts and lives. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the text that the Holy Spirit has authored through holy men of God and apply it, and that we would rely on the Holy Spirit to apply it with blessing from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Of whom, he's speaking of Jesus, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of solid food, literally. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The author's burden in the epistle is to show the infinite supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to a Judaistic cult to readers who were tempted to abandon Christianity for that cult. However, a key reason for this temptation was the reader's own stunted spiritual growth that had led them to be dissatisfied with the Christian faith. Accordingly, within an extended parenthetical section that warned the readers against turning from Christ, the author of Hebrews 5:11 to 14 addressed the cause and cure of stunted spiritual growth in his readers. The author wrote that he had much to say about Christ's high priestly ministry. That's what he was talking about in the section just before this in Hebrews 5:10. But that it was difficult of explanation, disurmenutos is that. It can also be difficult to interpret for those readers since, epe, they had become. Gigantes is a perfect tense of ginnonai, become. They had become, literally sluggish or hard, nothros of hearing. Sluggish of hearing is actually the literal meaning. Indeed, when they ought to be teachers according to the time, that is, due to the long time that they had been exposed to the truth, they instead had need for one to teach them the basic principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they had become, there's become again in the perfect tense, gigantā, in need of milk, not solid food, like Hebrews 5:12 says. Believe it or not, you and I probably both know, all know, of Christians who have been Christians for years, many years, sometimes even decades, and they're still kind of like little babies. They haven't grown. And the author here is going to get into why. What's behind that? Because the normal thing is to grow and to begin to mature. Well, the cause for this problem was the failure of the readers to apply the truths that they knew. Everyone who partakes of milk is unacquainted with or unaccustomed to, that's the Greek word apeiros, the word of righteousness, because he's a spiritual infant. However, solid food is for the mature who by means of exercise or practice, in other words, this is where you apply it to life, have their senses or faculties, aistheterion, trained, gegumnasmena, from the verb gymnazo. You get the word gymnasium from this, where they exercise, or train to distinguish good from evil. So the real key here is practice. It's not good enough just to learn truth. You can go to Bible college and learn all sorts of truth, but if you never apply it, eventually you're going to become sluggish and hard of hearing, and you never grow. This is how you, people you can go to Bible college and end up being an immature baby all your life. So we contrast the process of stunted spiritual growth with healthy spiritual growth as follows. The process of stunted spiritual growth. A believer may not learn or he may not apply God's truth to his life. Now, a lot of times I think believers will learn for some period of time, but they just don't get around to applying it, or they don't apply it consistently. Now, if this occurs over time, and it's interesting, this doesn't occur just in a week, 2 or 2 weeks. Many times this occurs over several years or months. There's a pattern that goes on, and they just don't apply it. If this occurs over time, a believer becomes sluggish in learning more truth. Now, his sluggishness tempts him to be dissatisfied with the Christian faith and vulnerable to the lure to drift off to error. Generally, though, before a Christian becomes dissatisfied with the faith, what the Christian does, he blames that his teachers are not teaching him the depths of the Word of God because it's not affecting him anymore, so it's got to be the teacher, when in reality, it's right here. It's interesting when Jesus talked about the sower and the seed. Often we talk about we call the parables of the sower, where he sows the seed. It's the same seed that he sows, but there's a different yield because the ground's different. Right now, we're having trouble growing some plants in an area where I've been putting for a couple of years the ash from our fire. And the plants don't like that ash very well, so they're not growing there. It's the ground. See, and yet where we sowed the beets are growing great. They're just popping up, coming right out of the ground. So the problem is the ground. The parable should be the parable of the ground, not the parable of the seed. It's just God's word is the seed. It's not the word, it's the ground. So anyway, the sluggishness tempts him to be dissatisfied either with the teacher or with the Christian faith and vulnerable to the lure to drift off into error. In fact, there are some Christians, they get so dissatisfied in this realm that they'll go off into error. I heard not long ago of some Christians that went from one bad situation, then they went off into hyper-dispensationalism, which is, you know, they split between the dispensation of the Jewish church and the Gentile church, which is, that's error too. But they went from one extreme way over to over here. So that's a process of stunted growth. It comes because people fail to apply the word and they become sluggish. Now, the process of ongoing spiritual growth. Notice how different this is. A believer over time may learn scripture truths and apply them to his experience, to his life. In doing so, he learns to discern good from evil. Now, this especially occurs as trials of persecution arise because he lives a godly life. It's interesting that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to. But that's a blessing in disguise, because when you suffer persecution, you reel from it. You're kind of hurt. So what do? You get into Scripture to find out what's going on here so you can solve it. And the Scripture shows you how to solve it. You work through it. Well, that gives you greater discernment as to what's going on. The person who's persecuting me, they're sinning. And I'm not in this situation. So all of a sudden, you're released from guilt. And you've grown in your understanding of the word through the trial that the Lord has allowed to come your way. Now that discernment spurs the believer to learn and apply more truth for his edification and healing from the trials of persecution. I've noticed whenever I go through a trial of some sort, especially if I've been persecuted in some particular way, I'll grow. I'll definitely grow in not only my understanding of the word, but I'll grow in my appetite for the word because I see how valuable scripture is. And that growth and appetite for the word causes me to get more of it and apply more of it so that I keep growing. This thing kind of goes on exponentially. You keep on growing. And that in turn produces a continual series of cause-effect events in your life that keep on producing more growth. I really believe a lot of times God will allow trials to come into our lives because he's seeking to motivate us to be in his word more. Because the trials force us to get into the word to solve the pain of the trial. So we get into the Word. The Word solves the problem or shows us what's going on. Our discernment grows, and so we see the value of that particular book or epistle, whatever we used, and so we read it more. So the Lord allows more trials to come, and guess what? We've got to get into the Word more, and sure enough, we get into the Word, and we grow, and we grow, and we grow. So the lesson is, believers who start to learn Scripture truth, but who do not apply them in their lives, in time will turn sluggish from absorbing more truth, and that in turn will stunt their spiritual growth and leave them dissatisfied with the Christian faith and open for the Lord to learn error, turn to error. However, believers who apply Scripture truth, they hear, will see the value of those truths, equip them increasingly to discern good from evil in life, and that will spur them to keep absorbing more spiritual truths and applying them for more discernment and eventual maturity. So in application, may we not only be hearers of the Word of God, but appliers of it in our own vitality. James 1:22, remember that says, be ye not hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Then may we not think that spiritual maturity depends solely on how much Scripture truth we learn. For we can learn, but not apply the truth. And that over time leads to sluggishness in hearing and our becoming open to being tempted to turn to error. When I was attending Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas, I found in my own walk, even though I was learning a lot about the Bible, learning a lot about how to study the Bible, it was very easy to let my spiritual relationship with the Lord lax because I was so tied up in the studies. It was like the Lord took the second seat. And that was an ongoing battle, and that was a battle with other students there. You get so busy trying to make the grade, trying to learn the Greek or the Hebrew, or trying to understand archaeology. You just, where's your relationship with the Lord? You know? So one can also think that he's not being fed God's word when it's his own sluggishness of hearing the truth that is the problem for not having applied the truth that he was already given. I've heard that one a lot. People will say, well, I'm not being fed. I'm beginning to think very carefully whenever I hear that. Since when is the person not being fed? How do we know that they're not becoming the sluggish one and they're not being able to absorb the truth that they're being fed simply because they haven't applied the truth that they've already been given? So you got to be careful about that idea. If we feel that we're not being fed, the first thing we need to do is check our own lives. Am I applying the Word of God? And am I honest with about that? Third, if we apply Scripture truth and live a godly life because of that application, and we are then persecuted for the application, like 2 Timothy 3:12 will tell us, may we thank God for the suffering, for it drives us to learn more truths for healing and for discernment and for growth. It's actually a blessing of God that he can use those trials. Jesus had a passage, he had some words in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. He said unto the disciples, this is after Mark, after he wrote about the parable of the sower. Jesus said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now, since he's talking about the soils that he's just written about, or Jesus has just mentioned the parable, he says, sooner or later, the type of soil you are is going to become evident to everybody else around you, including yourself. Because if you have hard ground and you've never received the word, that's going to show up. If you've got weeds, the weeds of the worldliness, that will show up. Or if you have hard or rocky ground, the cares of this world, that will show up. Even the good ground, there's the good ground produced 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold because of the quality of the ground. Some ground is really good, some is sort of moderately good, and some is barely good. But that will become evident. So this is kind of a warning. You better make sure you take care how you listen, because that's going to be something that is going to show up to people around you. And then he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed then what you hear. With the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that is you hear shall more be given. when I was in working in the grain in Nebraska, we had a farmer. He had a combine, and he would unload the grain out of his combine, come out of the chute. And if you put a cup this size in, the grain would hold only that the amount of that cup had. If you put a bucket out there, it'd fill the bucket up, but it would only hold the amount of a bucket. If you had a 5-gallon bucket and you could put it out there and hold it up, it would hold 5 gallons. So Jesus said, you need to take careful how you hear, because the amount of motivation that you have is going to determine the amount of information that you keep. So if you put a little cup out there, or if you put a teaspoon out, you're going to get a teaspoon worth of grain. If you put a 5-gallon bucket out, you're going to get 5 gallons. For he that has, to him shall more be given. That's knowledge. And he that has not, from what he has, shall even be taken away. So the onus or the responsibility is on the hearer. The word of God is being given. God has his messengers out there. They're giving the word. But we got to take care how we hear. And to the degree that we pay attention, then we'll be blessed. So may we not just listen and not just learn, but take what we learn, and when we learn it, apply it to our lives, and it becomes part of us, then that's going to make all the difference in the world.